I feel like we probably gifted Leeds a lot of what they got in the game. I thought we showed we could go in a cycle of the game with Leeds and compete set for large periods of the game. But ultimately, if you keep turning the ball over cheaply, you're going to get hurt this level, especially against a very good team.
I was going to say, what do you think was the key element that saw the game go away from you in the
end? I just think it was individual moments. So even for when we made an error, we defended really resiliently. And then we'd either come up with a one-on-one missed tackle or just an individual switch off. So it's just a little moment of concentration where it gets us at the moment.
I say that with the injuries that you do have and the way that the players are clearly rallying around each other, do you allow a bit of give for that in a way?
You'd probably think I would, but you don't, because if you go down that route, you'll probably not win when you should win. So we're pretty ruthless in the environment, if I'm really honest. So we're disappointed. We prepped to win the game no matter what we had. It was never about having a dig. So yeah, no, not quite.
Yeah, fair enough. Ethan Ryan scoring though on his 200th career appearance. How pleased you've been to get that?
Yeah, it's a fantastic achievement. We've shared some great milestones with him this year. His 100th Bulls game, his 100th Bulls career appearance, and plus his 200th game. So I'm very proud to be the coach that shared their moments with him. He's a great bloke. He's a fantastic player, and I'm very lucky to have him in this environment.
I'm scared to ask in a way, but how are things on the injury front after today?
Yeah, same old. We've lost Jack Ormerod very early in the game. We've lost Jaden Nickarima. His shoulder popped out. And Felix Steinweed is struggling with his back and his hamstrings.
You know, in terms of how serious a lot of these injuries are, potentially?
No idea, till probably tomorrow.
Jan Russell, any more on his condition as well?
Again, we've been told he probably needs 2 week rest. It's a very strange injury, so we're probably trying to see another specialist to have a second opinion on it, because Dan seems to think he should be okay, but we've got to be very careful, because if the eye bleeds again, it could be pretty severe. So I'd rather edge on the side of caution with him than rush him. For as desperate as we are, it's about the player first and the care of him. Good man.
Kurt, when we spoke on Wednesday, you said you wanted to come through this game with no injuries. Those three players that you've just said, where does that leave you? Going into this game today, there were 15, you know, players, if you're going to class Cameron Bate and, you know, Sam Hallis as first team.
Yeah, I'm not sure right now, Mick. It's probably the same as what I do every weekend. I get home, I have a beer, I breathe, I come in the day after and go, right, what do we need? Can I stay away from going into the loan market, which I'm really proud we've done as a club. Like this week, we could have gone in and probably got two or three players, but I'd rather stick with what we've got, move people out of position. Like we brought young Harvey Ward into the squad, and, you know, Al-Philippe was very close to playing, so I'd rather give our own lads an opportunity.
Just on Al-Philippe, 18th man, just how close were you? Pondering, thinking, I've given him his Super League debut.
Very, very close. It'll come.
I guess probably maybe next week against Southampton.
Possibly, yeah.
There was an effort in that first half that saw, I think it was Akers and Nickarima deny Jay Connie. You spoke about that sort of bravery and that effort. It was there.
Yeah, and I think what's important for me is that people see that. I'm very critical. There's still moments where I see that we don't work hard enough, but externally, when people still talk about your team working hard and being resilient and tough, you know, I take pride in that. The group take pride in it. But sometimes working hard and effort-based performances will not always win you games at this level. So as much as that's great, I'd like to see us win a couple more games through class and quality than an effort-based performance.
What do you hope the team learn from these sort of really tough periods that are, you know, today and again, and probably, I guess, you know,
yeah, so before you do press, you kind of have an idea in your head of the questions you're going to get asked. And I was hoping somebody asked me this kind of question, because for me, right now, for the stage we're at, I'd rather play Leeds every week. I would rather play them every single week. So the boys who are in there, your kids like Elliot Proposh, who've never played Super League, Eben Skurs, who don't know what this level looked like, to go straight into the deep end and play against the elite teams of this competition and survive for moments in the game. They'll only get better and learn from being in big games against big clubs, and that'll really help us for next year.
I mentioned Elliot Proposh in the commentary. I think it was his 15th appearance. Probably before the season started, he could have only dreamed of getting so much Super League experience under his belt.
Yeah, again, if you'd have asked me at the start of your how many games with Elliot Proposh you played, I'd probably said no more than five. But because of the way the game's going, you probably need now in Super League probably four deep in every position. Then obviously you put your middles in there, you're probably talking, instead of 10, you're probably talking 12, 14. That's just where the game's at right now.
Is it too early to say whether or not you're going to go in that loan market for Hull on Friday?
Yeah, it's probably too early, Mick. Like I said, I'll go home, I'll have a beer, I'll digest, speak to the staff, try my best to stay away from it. But if needs must and we've got to put 17 out, then I'd have to.
In terms of what potentially could be back on Friday, I think you said Jamie Gill, he could be back.
Yeah, possibly. He stalled a little bit on his return to playing train. So again, it would be a risk if we play him, but I'm pretty sure Jamie will have the same mentality as every player we've had this year. They play busted and injured. So yeah, there's a possibility.
One of those players you said was 50-50 on Wednesday was Andy Akers. He's obviously put his hand up to play.
Yeah, and again, this is where sometimes you feel like the bad guy because his thumb's in a really bad state. We've lost Mitch, who would have played this week, who's got injured playing in the reserves, 77 minutes in. So again, I couldn't give the kid a rest. I've left him out there again for 80 minutes and he's come off with a smile on his face, knowing that he's had a dig again. So there's times when I feel like I've let Andy down. But ultimately, it's just where we're at as a squad right now. And I've got a very special group of men in there who understand where we're at, especially boys who've played a lot of Super League. We're very understanding of where the ball's at right now, and this is only going to help us moving forward, especially the boys who don't know this level, Mick.
Just one final one, obviously Paul Rowley and his news leaving Saints. Have you spoken to Paul at all?
Yes, I dropped him a message a couple of days ago, so I left him initially because it'd be very raw to him. But I know Paul, he's a chilled out guy, and I just wanted to make sure he was okay. And yeah, he's doing okay.
And to any potential linking you with that vacancy, are you fully committed to Bradford?
It's funny, it's flattering to be linked with them kind of jobs, and you know, I've had a couple of messages, but that's a big club. I'm at a big club and I'm enjoying the journey here.
Yeah, Kurt, obviously you mentioned that would give Andy 80 minutes. I guess that's often, you don't see a hooker doing that, but I guess it's a sign of how important he is to the team and how much he's willing to put his hand up that he'll play that even when he's busted. I guess he's someone that's had a real value to this team this year.
Who's that, sorry?
Andy Akers.
Yeah, I like how you've given the opportunity to play 80. You had no choice to play 80.
Yeah,
yeah, again, it's just a reflection of the squad. I ask them to do things, some players way out of the capacity that they can probably reach, and that's just a credit to them. And Andy's one of them. He's one of our leaders in the group. He knows what this level looks like. I'm leaving him out there too long. I'll make no secret of that, but that's just where we're at.
We've seen you in these games with Leeds, obviously the one at Oddsall, but even at Magic, there was that hurting today, 18-12, and it's that massive 40-20 by Jake Connell, which just flicks things around again. I guess that's something that you are in these games. Is there a way to sort of stop it where it's getting away from you, or is that just individual moments?
Well, yeah, we practice it, we train it. You know, it's what's hard is when you go through the adversity in the game and you've got to get through their moments. You'd like to keep continuity in your team so you can learn and practice it. But I'm changing things every week. Personnel wise, it's so difficult. So when you're in the grind of the moment, to actually keep practicing a repetition of what it looks like. So we'll have to get better, or we won't win no more games. So we have to get better ultimately, is what I'm trying to say in a really long-winded version.
It felt like a template that first 25 where you were 6-0 up. What impressed you the most about that? It felt defensively was strong, guided really well to get on the end of that try. It was a really good start, wasn't it?
It wasn't. It again, it doesn't shock me. The effort and the accountability we hold of each other, we accept nothing less. So I'll focus on the things we need to fix up and the negatives, if you like, of the game. The lads are fantastic. They respond fantastically to everything.
Is there a way to sort of coach out individually, or is that just something players have got to learn in the moment, like when Connor didn't get on the end of that high kick and he sort of palmed it straight to Brody Croft, little things like that? Or are they just things that can happen in games sometimes?
I don't articulate this and I'll sound disrespectful. When you consistently make mistakes, you can usually drop a player. But I've not got players that can drop.
It's completely fair. Exactly. It's been pretty kind, but obviously Nick Reamer, it depends on his shoulder is. Did you see things from Chris and Rye that means that if you need to use him as a half a pad going forward, there's things you can work with there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got Chris Atkin, who's been around a long time, knows this level. I've got Riley Dean, who was the best pivot in the Championship, who we've brought in, has shown glimpses at times. So yeah, I'm really excited and cool with what them two can do if Jaden's out.
Just want to check Leon. Has Leon got an injury on that long list, or has he just not shown you enough what's Leon Ruins?
So Leon's had some personal issues this weekend that he's had to sort with his family.
That's absolutely fine, thanks, Kurt. Just a final one. Jack, you mentioned he was hurt. What did he do, Jack, earlier?
I actually don't know how he did it, but he hurt his ankle very early on in the game and he hobbled around for probably the 2 or 3 minutes before I took him off. I've asked him, can he go back on? He's a pretty honest guy, experienced Super League player, said, Aga can't run. So I wasn't risking him to put him back on.
No, that makes sense. That's all, Kurt.
Good man, thank you.
This is West Yorkshire Rugby League Radio. With Mick the Game Caller Gledhill.